National historic landmark, the Susan B. Anthony House, built in 1859, was home of the legendary leader for the last 40 years of her life, until 1906. In the mid-1940s, the Federation of Women's Clubs came to the rescue of the house, which had become run down. Today, around 50 years later, Susan B. Anthony House Executive Director Lori Barnum reports age has caught up with the house again, and hopes signs of peeling walls and a leaky roof may nudge visitors into an extra donation.
Well, I hope so, because I'll tell you what, it's kind of heartbreaking. This house needs repair, and it's too bad that the crowds need to come and see it in disrepair. Hopefully, as visitors come to see it, we'll be able to repair and renovate the house and restore it to the way it should be to represent a woman of her stature.
Barnum says more visitors also means getting the word out and more opportunities to furnish the house, located within one of the few intact 19th century middle-class neighborhoods in the country.
Well, we're fortunate to have a really good number of artifacts that did belong to Susan B. Anthony, like her bedroom set and some of the furnishings and personal items. It's a wonderful collection. But I know there are things around the country that still exist that belong to Susan B. Anthony and that hopefully will find their way back here at some point.
It was here that Susan Brownell Anthony's biography was written, plus the four-volume History of Women's Suffrage. It was home for Anthony, returning from delivering a speech around the country or writing the next one. They were skills taught to her by fellow reformer Elizabeth Cady Stanton, says Rochester, New York City historian and Susan B. Anthony House board member Ruth Rosenberg Knappersteck.
Stanton at first helped her to write her speeches, and Susan B. Anthony was uncomfortable and shy about giving public speeches. At the time, women weren't supposed to speak in public. It was considered unfeminine, but she was so caught up in the belief of what she had to say that she very soon was able to give public speeches without any prompting. She wrote her own speeches because she knew what she wanted to say.
Besides being known as the driving force behind the 19th Amendment to the Constitution, gaining full voting rights for women, Anthony also supported the temperance movement, worked with Frederick Douglass and the American Anti-Slavery Society, ran women's suffrage organizations, and worked with labor organizations pushing for equal pay, equal work conditions.
She was so energetic, so well-informed, and so tireless that without her, we definitely would not have accomplished what we did. And we call it a women's movement, but really it was a people's movement. What she was accomplishing was helping to bring equality between men and women, and that helped enormously just in making a better society for us at the turn of the century.
In this red brick house, in the parlor, in 1872, Susan B. Anthony was arrested for voting in the presidential election. Later convicted, she never paid the $100 fine. 2 weeks after November 5th, Election Day, a deputy U.S. Marshal arrived at 17 Madison Street, hoping the suspect would just quietly follow him to the police station. Linda Krinsky is the education coordinator for the Susan B. Anthony House.
She was very much wanting to be handcuffed and taken downtown, so she put out her hands and asked to be handcuffed, and he refused to do that. The two of them headed out for downtown. They took the streetcar at the end of the street, and there was a 5-cent fare, and Anthony got on the trolley and announced very loudly that she was traveling at the expense of the government and they could pay her fare.
From Madison Street, Bill Flynn,